Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London. I'm Suzanne Blumpson. The iPhone has for years defined the shape and style of a smartphone, a black rectangular touchscreen with rounded corners mimicked by manufacturers the world over. But with the market saturated, the first significant change has appeared. Tim Bradshaw was at the launch of the folding phone at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, and he spoke to Malcolm Moore about the new designs.
Tim, is this new folding phone the talk of Mobile World Congress?
It's the talk of Mobile World Congress, but very much in the theoretical rather than the real, because although Huawei and Samsung have shown off their new foldable devices in the last few days, they're currently encased behind glass boxes and nobody's allowed to touch them, which is making everyone scratch their heads and wonder if they really work yet. But yes, there is certainly a lot of attention on this, and a lot of the analysts and phone makers and some of the mobile operators that I'm speaking to here are quite excited, at least by what this says for the future of smartphone design, if not the versions that we have on day one right here.
But I mean, this must be the first new format, if you like, of mobile phones since the banana phone.
Since the banana phone, yes, or possibly the iPhone. But yes, I mean, the Razr, I guess, was quite a popular folding phone. And there has been some speculation that Motorola might try to bring that back with a new flexible display. Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of the versions that we've seen here over the last few days are very much version one. And they're kind of doing this because they can, rather than because anybody necessarily knows why this is a great idea. But like you say, there has been about a decade where smartphones looked kind of the same, and there have been different versions of that, and sometimes even different colours, which is always a sign of desperation in the market. And now we have the promise of something new, a phone that can turn into a tablet, or that can be folded up smaller and put into your pocket, or wrapped around your wrist even.
I mean, I know you haven't been allowed to touch one, but just judging from the phone sitting behind that glass display, do you think it would fit in a pocket?
I have to say, I'm a little bit more optimistic based on what it looks like on Huawei's version of folding phones than Samsung's. Samsung's intuitively looks quite nice because it opens like a book. And so you have the screen protected on the inside, which overcomes some of the questions that people have around how easily smashable these things are going to be. But it does mean that the whole phone is quite a lot thicker than a traditional mobile phone. And actually, we've even seen another design from LG that is literally two phones clipped together with a seam down the middle. So that's not particularly portable. The Huawei Mate X folds around the exterior. So you have a design that means that you have a normal sized phone with a 6.5-inch display on the outside, and then you can sort of unfold another piece from underneath it. And there's a little grip that runs down the side, which contains most of the processors and some of the battery and the antenna and those kinds of things, which also acts as a little thing to hold on to. And so that one looks a little bit more usable and does look quite pocketable. But yes, there's certainly a question as to whether people will be that enthusiastic for an 8-inch screen that they are willing to tolerate something that much more bulky.
Okay. And are you willing to hazard a guess as to how power hungry this enormous new screen is likely to be? I mean, is it going to need a vast battery, or is it going to drain in, you know, a short period of time?
Well, I guess the advantage of having this folding screen is that you have a larger real estate under which to tuck batteries. And so both Huawei and Samsung are taking this approach where they're hiding the batteries behind the screen, much in the same way as an iPhone or a Galaxy would in its regular format today. So in theory, you have as much battery power. And Huawei say that when they do release this device at some point in the next few months, it will have as good a performance as a sort of standard smartphone that they would produce anyway. There are a couple of other factors, though. One of them is that it's quite processor hungry, and particularly RAM hungry, RAM, random access memory. The thing that you need to kind of power all of that display, it's not only power consumptive, but it's also very expensive. So as well as the fact that these flexible displays haven't existed for very long, and the years of R&D that Samsung and Huawei have spent investing in a special hinge system, which allows this to fold without creasing the display. The analysts that I speak to say that actually one of the reasons that these things are costing $2,000 or more is that the RAM that they have to pay for is potentially hundreds of dollars by itself. And so there is an extra tax on the components that having a bigger display provides.
Okay. And since you've raised it, let's come on to the price. One of them is about $2,000, and the other one is even more than that, $2,500 more than that. Who's going to buy a $2,500 phone?
I suspect very few people. I mean, there is always the kind of flash crowd that just want to have the latest and greatest thing and be able to unfold it at parties or whatever it is that people do with expensive devices. Some people have kind of likened it to very large televisions. There was a period where the TV industry found it difficult to produce 60-inch screens at affordable prices, but they made them anyway, partly because it challenged their engineers to do something interesting that eventually would become cheaper. But they also knew that there was a small number of people that would pay for them just to have a massive telly. And so you're sort of going for that kind of crowd. In some ways, it doesn't really matter how many people buy a $2,500 folding phone from Huawei, because it means that we're talking about Huawei on this podcast. It means that Huawei can put huge billboards all over Barcelona, where this conference is being held, with its foldable phone on it. And it gives it this halo of being an innovative company. And especially at a conference that's been dominated by discussions of whether Huawei is a security risk in the network infrastructure, it gives it a very positive story to boost its brand for its other devices. And I think the reason that Samsung launched its phone a few days earlier, it can say it's the first mainstream handset vendor to unveil one and actually ship one, because I think Samsung's version will go on sale before Huawei's. And so they're both trying to be first. They're both trying to claim that crown of innovation. And they're both ahead of where, frankly, Apple is, which we don't really expect to come up with a foldable phone for. I mean, a year seems unlikely, probably two at the outside, if indeed they ever do. And I think that probably will depend very much on the experimentation period that Samsung and Huawei are about to enter into to discover if anybody really finds these things useful or whether it is just effectively a marketing gimmick. I spoke to an executive at Samsung today who says that in a few years, he expects all smartphones will have folding screens of one form or another. And obviously that means the price has to come down by 75% or more for it to become genuinely affordable. But I think they have to start somewhere. And the fact that the smartphone industry declined for the first time last year means they have to kind of start now. So they're really trying to find something that will persuade people to open their wallets. And in some ways, that is provoking a greater willingness to experiment than when effectively the whole market was on the up and up because everyone was buying a smartphone for the first time.
That's interesting what the Samsung executive said. I mean, are we sure that the future of smartphones is in fact smartphone? Mightn't it be an earpiece or AR glasses or something like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say the other big product launch that we had here at Mobile World Congress wasn't a mobile phone. It was Microsoft's new HoloLens 2, which they like to call it a mixed reality headset. But yes, you're looking through a visor that places digital objects before you on the real world, holograms, as Microsoft likes to call it. And that's only an extra grand on top of the cost of the Huawei folding phone. So if you're going to really try and buy into the future of computing, you may as well spring $3,500 for a HoloLens. I have to say at the moment, right. Microsoft
is a business
kind of
though to buy a HoloLens, don't you?
You don't have to be. They're pitching it mainly at corporate and industrial customers, but anyone can order one. They're just the applications that they demonstrated, like Minecraft with the first version of HoloLens when it came out a few years ago, have kind of fallen away. And at the moment, Microsoft is aiming these things primarily as industrial and commercial devices. I had a demo where I was trying to thread a cable through some sort of component of a jet engine, and little virtual dots and arrows appeared to instruct me as to where I was supposed to be plugging this cable in, which was helpful for someone who's never built a jet engine before.
Was it heavy, the headset?
It's a lot lighter. They've redesigned it in such a way that there's better weight balance. So instead of it all resting on your foreheads, it feels a little bit more comfortable. I have to say I only wore it for 10 minutes, but it didn't feel quite as cumbersome as some of the virtual reality headsets that I've worn over the years, which can get quite sweaty quite quickly. Whether the battery life lasts more than a couple of hours and therefore comfort becomes less of a problem, I'm not sure.
Okay, so there's your choice. Folding phone or holographic headset. Anything else at Mobile World Congress we need to know about?
5G. Everywhere 5G. This is the first year that we've really seen real 5G handsets and products on the floor of Mobile World Congress. And the infrastructure is being deployed right now for launch later this year, where people will be able to make the first calls and data connections running on the 5G network. I think in the near term, though, there will be some improvements to speed of downloads and latency for things like online gaming that will make a difference to consumers. But for the most part, the benefits of 5G right now are more on the kind of operator side and the infrastructure side and in new industrial applications and the long promised Internet of Things. But that said, one of your questions about battery power, 5G is being touted as being a much lower energy consumption technology. And so in time, that might mean that you need thinner batteries and therefore the folding phone can be made a little smaller overall. and that could make what currently feels like a prototype into something that would be a little bit more real in the years to come.
Right. Thanks very much, Tim.
That was Malcolm Moore, technology news editor, talking to Tim Bradshaw, global technology correspondent in Barcelona. We'll be back with another news feature tomorrow. In the meantime, if you're not already a subscriber and would like to discover more FT content, do take a look at our latest subscription offer at ft.com/offer.